Live from the Car Care Studios, it's the CNC Auto Show with your personal on-air and online automotive service advisors, Aaron Clements and John Ryan Mooney. So climb in, buckle up, and enjoy the ride on the CNC Auto Show.
And we do welcome you to the CNC Auto Show. You jump in, buckle up, and hold on. I'm your host, Aaron Clements. We are here to answer your automotive questions, share some tips, talk about cars, and have some fun. We normally always have a subject to focus on, and the subject for today is do-it-yourself car care detailing. And since this is about do-it-yourself car detailing, I asked one of the best DIY car detailers that I know to join the show, and that person is Jim Pate. Jim, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Aaron.
Well, thank you very much for being here. And I want to say thank you in advance for sharing your knowledge. I've seen before. Well, I've actually seen cars that what they look like before and what they look like after. And I've seen before and after pictures. And it is absolutely amazing what you can do to a car. And I felt like it would be really nice to share that with the listeners, because there's a lot of people out there that love to clean their own car. And it's a lot like gardening. Some people enjoy gardening. Some people enjoy painting. Some people enjoy other things. But some people just enjoy making a car look good. And I think that's important for them to know the right reason why.
And I've got a few things that have worked for me. Uh-huh. Doesn't mean they're the best. Doesn't necessarily even mean that they're close to the best, but things that I've done for many years that have given me the results and the enjoyment.
Well, I do know the ones that I've seen looks absolutely awesome. So you buckle up and hold on to that. And Jim, you know the routine. Normally we start with a tech tip quiz.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Today is no different. We will start with a good tip. Oh, Jim, I got to run to the restroom real quick. If you'll handle things, I'll be right back.
That'll be fine. Just show me which button to push.
I had to mess with Jim just a little bit. You don't know what to think about that one. All right, we do have a tech tip quiz. And if you are a winner, you will receive the I Answered Tech Tip Quiz coffee mug. And here's the question. Susan was on her first week in the 10th grade. She borrowed five people's cell phone in less than 30 minutes without them knowing it. How did she do it? And if someone knows the answer, they can call in and answer today's tech tip quiz, because we are ready for you. And of course, if you win, you will receive the prize package, which includes the tech tip quiz winner coffee mug. Actually, it's the official tech tip quiz coffee mug. It's kind of huge. It's a big deal. Okay, if you know the answer, give us a call. And that number is 800-224-9090. Or you can dial 706-863-5800. And also, I forgot to mention, you can watch us live on Facebook. We are sitting here ready for you. Give us a call. And I hadn't mentioned this in a long time, but there's some people that listen to Facebook in other areas. If it's Saturday morning between the hours 8:05 and 10, you're very welcome to call in, and you can just dial those same numbers, and we'll be doing the show, and you'll be able to watch us live at the same time. Okay, give us a call. And we were going to mention some of the things that Jim does, and again, I want to say thank you for being here. And I can see that you enjoy detailing cars so much, because as you're either showing me pictures of a car that you've worked on or showing things that you've done, I can see your eyes just light up. It's something that brings you enjoyment. Why do you think that making a car look its best or bringing out its best brings you so much satisfaction?
Well, whether the car is for me or for a friend, we didn't mention this before, but I'm identifying myself as a shade tree car detailer, and that simply means that I don't have a shingle hanging out anywhere. I don't do it for money. I do it for the joy of it, as you've just referenced. But when you do a car that's been neglected or just been sitting for a long time, I think the most gratifying thing is the interior. And when you can bring that right back to either nearly new or at least much better, the gratification is not only yours, but it's also instantaneous and it's dramatic. And the interiors are particularly the most challenging, but still they're the most rewarding in the turnaround that you can have. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things that makes me happy. And if it's done for someone else who's not expecting it, then it's a gift to them, and that makes it good for the heart as well.
Yeah. And, Jim, I think you've done that a few times with some cars, too.
I have.
Yeah. And I know he don't talk that much about that part of it, but I've seen him take a regular car, turn it an absolutely beautiful car, and just help someone with the car.
Yes.
A great deal. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Okay. Are we ready to go to the calls? How about if we go over to John? John, welcome to the CNC Auto Show, and what can we help you with today?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question for your guest. Mm-hmm. I have a car, and the headlight lenses are really fogged up, and I've tried to clean them with regular car polish, and it just doesn't do the job. Mm-hmm. Do you have any recommendations on what to do to get those things looking at least kind of new again?
That's a great question, Jim.
Well, good morning, John. I've been on the YouTube. Maybe you've done that as well. And I've seen the toothpaste story. I've seen the WD-40 story. I think people even talk about spraying insect repellent on them. And all of those things just really don't work out as well as when I saw an automobile repair facility do the headlights on a car that I was having body work done on. And he offered to do them. I took the headlights off. And their process was compounding and buffing and clear coating. So when I started to have cars of my own that needed the same thing, I went to my local auto parts store, whether that's O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's close to you. They have all of these basic things that we'll talk about here. And there was a product by Meguiar's, and they make three levels of product. And I got the heavy-duty restoration kit, which is a three-step process encompassing all the things that I had seen at the auto body shop. And namely, it's two different grades of fine sandpaper, followed by a little buffing bonnet that goes on the end of your drill with a polish that they provide. And then the third step, which really I think is what keeps your work stable, is a small bottle of clear coat material with a wedge-shaped sponge that allows you to just draw it right across the lens. And I've gotten, I think, four vehicles out of that one kit. Sandpaper's getting a little tired, but it's still, you work with it a while, it still works. And even the polishing aspect of it, that the liquid and the buffer works on plastic taillight side marker lenses as well. But that Meguiar's heavy duty headlight restoration kit on the shelf, ready to go, and just mask off the area around it like it tells you to, and I think you'll be happy.
And, John, I will tell you, that is pretty much very, very similar to what we do as a professional shop. It goes through a process of sanding it and then a little finer sandpaper, a little finer, and then a buffing and then some other things on there. Very close. The only little thing I might add to that, and this comes from us doing a lot of cars, you have to, certain cars, the paint did not hold well. So you have to be very careful on which cars you put the tape on, because and there's nothing you can, you're not doing anything wrong on certain cars. It's just some cars, they didn't use the right kind of primer, and it causes the paint to come off. So be careful with those.
And that's valid, because I always use the blue painter's tape, because I think that has the least amount of tack to it. Because that, you don't want to trade problems, do you, Aaron?
Exactly. Yeah, and you don't want it, just like you mentioned, you don't want any kind of aggressive tape, just a painter's grade tape. But even on painter's grade, there's certain models that they had an issue. Okay, John, that was a great call. Thank you.
I was going to use Vaseline, but I figured I'd get too many bugs and dirt stuck to it in order to get them to look shiny. So thank you for your help.
You bet.
I'm going to try that.
Great call. We appreciate that very much.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we're going to need to pull up. Bye-bye. We're going to need to pull over to the side of the road for now, but we will be back on the road very shortly, right after these messages.
Let's head back down to the Car Care Studio with Aaron Clements and John Ryan Mooney.
The CNC Auto Show is brought to you in part by the Behrman and their intake valve and combustion cleaner. Formulated for use in all fuel-injected gasoline engines, Behrman's intake valve and combustion cleaner helps dissolve stubborn carbon buildup for a dramatic increase in performance and overall drivability. Learn more at BehrmanProducts.com. We are back. Give us a call, 800-224-9090. That's on any Saturday morning, 8:05 to 10 Eastern time, or you can watch and listen on Facebook. Option two is to call 706-863-5800, or you can also watch live at ccautoshow.com. And we are here with Jim Pate. Jim is a do-it-yourself car detailer, and he is very good at it, and we are so that makes it where we can also take calls on do-it-yourself detailing. You ready to go to the calls?
Let's do it.
Okay, we're going to go for it. Here we go. We are going to Matt. Matt, welcome to the CNC Auto Show. What can we help with?
Yeah, I wanted to try the tech tip quiz.
Oh, wait a minute. We will need to put you on stage, but we may have a small issue about getting you on stage.
At least can put his sunglasses on, right?
Yes. Our producer is not in the is not in there to put you on stage. Here we go. Now he's here. Okay. Our producer has put you on stage. And I'm going to read the question real quickly. And that is, Susan was on her first week in the 10th grade. She borrowed five people's cell phone in less than 30 minutes without them knowing it. How did she do it? And Matt, all eyes are on you. What's the answer?
So I think she was using the Bluetooth in her car, and maybe those people had connected their phones to her car in the past, so she was able to just go in and just reconnect to their phones when she pulled up to the parking lot without them knowing it.
Wow. And she was able to grab five of them. What about their password?
Well, I guess with the Bluetooth, it's previously connected, so she was able to just use them.
Oh, she had done tapped into them before. I tell you, Matt, that was a good story. I mean, I enjoyed it immensely.
But here comes that three-letter word.
But that was not the right answer. So.
Oh, no.
Oh, Matt. Hey, you took that well, Matt. Some people need to get some oxygen right afterwards, but you're doing well.
Thank you.
I thought you did well. Okay. Number to call, 706-863-5800 or 800-224-9090. And we will swing over here and pick up John, welcome to the CNC Auto Show, and what can we help you with?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I've noticed on some of the newer cars on the radiators, the inlet hose, which used to go to the top of the radiator, it looks like they're going into the side now. If that's true, what is the benefit from putting the inlet hose on the side of the radiator?
Okay, now, that I don't have any official information to be able to say I know for sure, but I can throw some things out. Part of it would have to be with the design of cars. They have to shape components different ways. For instance, radiators used to be much larger. Now they're smaller. AC units used to be larger. Of course, they want them to be lighter, but they also make them smarter. They're doing all these things so they can pack more stuff into a small area. That could be part of it. Another part is actually the way the system's designed. If it's operating correctly, it wouldn't matter if it was on the side or the top. And just real quick, the way that overflow hose works. When you crank the vehicle up, you got ambient temperature coolant, and then the level is like in your coolant jug is, let's say, on the cold mark. You crank the engine up, runs for a little bit, the coolant expands. And then when it expands, it goes into the coolant jug. It's the cap, radiator cap, holds about 12 to 15 PSI on the system of pressure on the system, and that increases the boiling point. Well, what is supposed to happen is that when that coolant cools back down, it sucks that coolant back in there. if there's no leaks in the system. If you got any leakage, instead of pulling that coolant from the radiator jug and back into the system, it will pull it from where the leak is and pull air back into the system. And that's what causes...
I wasn't referring to the overflow. I was referring to the main hose coming from the engine. The hot water comes in the engine that's making a way to the radiator to be cooled.
Oh, you're talking about like the upper radiator hose. I thought you were talking about the overflow hose.
No, sir. The upper one looks like they're going into the sides nowadays. I wonder what the benefit of that was.
Uh-huh. I don't know if there is a large benefit to it. I mean, they just... I can't think of any real reason why it would do it as far as technically do it. Other than they just different designs that they make. I don't know of a real reason why they do that. You can do it either one. I mean, you have the coolant coming in and flowing through the radiator and flowing back out, cooling it down. Now, one thing that is a lot different on some vehicles is for the thermostat, whereas on some vehicles they are at the top of the engine. Now, many cars have the thermostat at the lower hose, which can be a little tricky on getting them bled out. But no, I don't think there's a real major reason why they do that.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Great call, and thank you very much. Okay. Time to take a real quick break. We'll be right back after this. J.B. Will has saved me many times over the years. The one I remember most is a car I bought that turned out to have a cracked block. I cleaned the area and added J.B. Weld. I drove that car for 2 years. Be your strongest self and use the adhesive pros have trusted for 50 years. J.B. Weld. Available at jbweld.com, Walmart, Amazon, Home Depot, AutoZone, and more. J.B. Weld, world's strongest bond. J.B. Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. I have been in the automotive repair business for many years, and I can tell you something that I see quite often. It starts with the battery getting weak and the driver does not even know it. Each morning, the vehicle starts fine, but the voltage was low. Now the alternator must work very hard to get the battery recharged. This is repeated day after day. Over time, this burns out the alternator, and soon the car will not start. Someone then jumps the car off. When the cables are connected or disconnected, this causes voltage spikes, which can damage expensive electronic components. The car is towed in, and we test the battery and alternator, and they both are bad. We install the battery and alternator, and the customer thinks that the alternator killed the battery, but in reality, the battery killed the alternator, and voltage spikes could have damaged other components. This can all be avoided. Clarios Batteries has a great site full of information and tips that will keep this from happening to you. The site is autobatteries.com. That's autobatteries.com.
It's time for more good stuff with Aaron Clements and John Ryan Mooney.
The CNC Auto Show is brought to you in part by Dorman Products and their loaded knuckles. Rust-related issues can make wheel bearing and backing plate replacement tricky, but Dorman's new loaded knuckles are complete assemblies. It's an easy bolt-on solution that saves both time and, of course, money. Learn more at DormanProducts.com. I'm your host, Aaron Clements, here with the best DIY car detailer that I know, Jim Pate. We are ready for your automotive questions. The number's 800-224-9090, or watch, listen, and I'm going to say learn at Facebook Live. You can also give us a call, 706-863-5800, or watch at ccautoshow.com. And we had talked to John at the end of the last break, and John had asked why the radiator hose come into the side of the radiator as opposed to the top, like traditionally. And we think we still think it has more to do with design. I feel like the reason that they can now, many years radiators were made as a serpentine type radiator. The water would flow in one outlet, make a snake movement all the way through, and then go out the other part. Now they have this big empty space on one side of the radiator, and the coolant goes through the flues from there. That's the reason it's really difficult to flush a modern radiator, is because of that cross-flow design. So combination of design, wanting to make them many times smaller, and, of course, lighter, a lot of other reasons, and cross-flow design makes it possible to do that. So that sound good, Jeff?
Sounds good.
Yeah, we had a great big meeting right during the break, and it was like 30 people lined up on a long table, and we all discussed it really quick. Actually, it was me and Jim. Okay, here we go. Let's go over to, let's visit with John. John, welcome to the CNC Auto Show, and what can we help you with?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Absolutely lovely.
I have a 2013 Camaro SS, and I've got acid rain on the windows. What do you recommend for removing it? You know, I've tried the vinegar and water and baking soda, toothpaste, a lot of different things.
John, I have a car now that I bought last November, and it's the first time I ever had a car with, whether it's acid rain or not. I don't think it is, and I'll tell you why. But I've got water spots, and the reason I don't think it's acid rain is because it's only on the side glass on one side of the car. So it tells me that in my case, I've probably had a condition where the car was standing next for a while before I got it next to irrigation, and I probably have hard water deposits. So, and I have an idea of how to deal with that, but since I cannot detect them when I'm looking from inside the car to the outside, I did not proceed. But I think the question we would have to determine here is, do you actually have etching of the glass from something, or do you have something on the glass, like a hard water deposit, which is, again, what I think I have. And in the case of the latter, I think the best thing to do, as many chemical spot treatment cans will say, pick an inconspicuous place. And in an inconspicuous place to you on your glass, take some of that quadruple zero steel wool. That's the finest one I've been able to find. And try to see if you can't remove what may be a deposit on the glass. And if that doesn't take it off, then you may have actually an etching in the glass, which I don't know, other than replacing the glass, how you would take care of an actual surface defect. But you probably have a deposit, maybe.
Okay.
John, did
thank you.
Okay, John, we appreciate it very much. Okay, the number to call, 706-863-5800. And we hope that that will help John get his spots off his glass. I've run into that also, and you mentioned, and that helped me a lot, because I found that sometimes it works, sometimes it does not work. So that would be the reason why, and never really thought about it that much. Okay, and we will go over to, let's see here, let's go visit Chris. Chris, welcome to the CNC Auto Show, and what can we help you with?
Hi. I have a question for your guest.
Sure.
I wash car pretty good, but I get those. I try to wash the inside of my windows, and I always get streaks. I hate driving down a road and seeing streaks when the sun's shining through.
Yeah.
Do you have a trick to try to clean a window and get them clean for a change?
Before he mentions that, I'll say that the secret to that is to drive west in the mornings and east at night. Afternoon, sun going down. Now, Jim, what do you think?
Well, so long as you don't have a rapidly returning haze on your windows, which could indicate, as we've heard on this show over the years, a bad heater core maybe. But I have two things that puzzle me about my car. I think there's off-gassing in some of the plastics of the car, which particularly affects the windshield, and I'll see a haze on the glass, which can be troublesome to remove. But in most cases, the only thing I use on the inside of a window are some of my old bath towels, washcloths I never throw away, with water, a wet one and a dry one. But if I've got something that's really on there, then I'm looking for a window cleaner that might have an alcohol base in it, and I try to usually, and even in the case of windows, apply it to my applicator of some sort that'll absorb it, but not completely, so there's still a residue there, and go back and forth and cut whatever's on there. And once that original encounter of a haze or a film is removed, a wet towel and a dry towel should maintain it. But if it keeps coming back and it looks like the rainbow, that could be coolant.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying that the cleaner I should buy is not just Windex, right?
Well, it could be Windex would be fine, whether it's a pump sprayer or an aerosol. If you're going to spray it right on the glass, an aerosol is the best because they tend to come out in a foam. And again, I was at O'Reilly Auto Parts the other day, and I saw a spray away product on the on their shelf. And I've heard and seen through videos that those folks make a really great product mm-hmm. line for interior detailing. And you're just looking for something that's got some alcohol or some other detergent in it to actually cut it. And then the maintenance with a wet towel and a dry one afterwards should do it.
Yeah, that spray away cleaner has worked very well for us on doing that.
Okay, I'll try it. I mean, I just can't stand that seeing that haze after working so hard. So thank you very much, sir.
Hey, thank you, Chris. We do appreciate the call. And that is true. Many times you think you have your windows perfectly clean and you're driving down the road and it's doing good. You turn and the sun hits it just right and you see all kind of streaks.
Yep. I don't care who you are. You're going to miss something every time. Yeah. I clean it on a Saturday, go to church Sunday morning, driving out to the east, and I go, who did this car?
Yeah. That will happen. Okay. Let's go to the next caller. Let's go over to Marvin. Marvin, welcome to the CNC Auto Show, and what can we help you with?
Yes, good morning. How you doing?
Doing very well. We appreciate the call.
Yes, I have a question. Mm-hmm. I have a 1994 Nissan Datsun pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
I just began to hear one of the valves ticking.
Mm-hmm.
What is the solution for getting that valve fixed?
Oh, great question. I'll mention that one of the first things that I normally ask people when they hear a valve ticking is when their last oil change was.
Okay.
Do you know?
That's what I got to do. It's been a while. It's been my little work truck, and I definitely got to get the oil change Monday.
Yeah, and I can tell you that I would say about half the vehicles that come in that have a ticking valve, and they think something large is wrong with the engine. We change the oil, and it don't immediately go away because it has to pump new oil in the lifters and get it up there. But the oil, the ticking noise will go away. And no doubt the engine will last much, much longer when you do that. So, yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, this vehicle has over 200,000 miles. Should I add any heavy-duty loosening oil treatment in it to help?
Does the engine seem to be using any oil between changes, like a quart here and a quart there between it?
No.
What I normally do is if I see a problem I'm trying to offset, let's say that I'm having to add a lot of oil or it's got some leaks and I don't really want to spend a lot of money on the vehicle because it's in it has some miles on it, then in those cases, I would just use regular oil. If you're trying to offset the problem, a problem of some type, you might try the high mileage oil.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Oh, we appreciate the call, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to more of the CNC Auto Show with Aaron Clements and John Ryan Mooney.
The CNC Auto Show is brought to you in part by JB Weld, world's strongest bond. JB Weld products can be used on practically anything, metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics, and more. Learn more at jbweld.com. We are back with you with the CNC Auto Show. If you have a question about DIY car detailing or a question about your vehicle, you just give us a call, and that number is 800-224-9090. You give us a call. That's between hours of 8:05 and 10 Eastern time. You can also watch the show live on Facebook. And we were talking about car detailing, and one of the things that I was going to ask you about was the type of soap that you use when you do it. And I'll tell you the reason I mentioned this. Many, many years ago, I was a teenager, and this guy taught me the right method to wash a car. And I still remember that guy to this day. It's amazing. You don't think about how little bitty things impact your life, but he showed me the method that he uses, and it meant a lot. What method do you use on washing it, and what type soap?
I've used a number of things over what is now maybe 40 years of fooling with this. Mm-hmm. Is I've settled on a product that's actually stated to be for purposes of washing cars. I use the Meguiar's Gold Class Car Wash Shampoo. Comes in a 32-ounce bottle or whatever. Mm-hmm. But with any chemical process, dilution control is important. And this goes to the technique question of this. And I dispense that into a old hand soap pump bottle. Mm-hmm. So this way, I found, in my case, that I take 7 pumps of that.
You got it down to the,
cause you don't number. You want enough to do the job always, uh-huh. but no more than necessary because I want the wax to last.
Yeah.
So I want just enough to move the soil, but not too much to damage or accelerate the wax revisiting event. So 7 pumps of that hand soap dispenser into a 5-gallon pail where I have a 2-gallon mark on the side of it. So I have 2 gallons of water, 7 pumps of soap. That gives me the right solution, adequate suds, not too much. And then I wash it with a buffing bonnet, a synthetic / wool buffing bonnet designed for 9 to 10 inch orbital buffings machines. Mm-hmm. And completely supple, goes into all the crevices. And the good thing is it floats. It never sinks to the bottom where it could ever pick up grit.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So that's something I didn't think about either, the importance of something not going to the bottom where the dirt, the dirty water is.
And you talked about someone who gave you a tip a long time ago. In that case, the bonnet, I saw the new car and used car prep person at a car dealership I worked at many years ago was using those instead of buffing the car. I says, his name was Bruce. Uh-huh. Why are you doing that? He showed me and I've never looked back.
Wow. That is amazing. Okay. We will give the tech tip quiz one more time. And we will be looking for an answer to our tech tip quiz. And after that, I had another question for Jim. Then we'll go to the callers. Susan was on her first week in the 10th grade. She borrowed 5 people's cell phone in less than 30 minutes without them knowing it. How did she do it? If you know the answer, you'll be able to give us a call. Again, that number is 706-863-5800. And Jim, I wanted to ask you, really about the same question having to do with wax as I did about the washing. What methods do you use and what type of wax do you use? And again, I got some fine tuning I need to do on my own on that part because I don't seem to do it as well as I see other people do it.
I've used a number of things over the years and I again settled on something after a long time. And what I don't use is a cleaner wax because in my mind, a car needs to be what before you wax it? Clean. In other words, free of contaminants and so forth. So I work on that preparation with a good scrubbing with those bonnets and soaps and accelerate the soap level if I have a spot, let's say. But when I'm done, I use a carnauba wax. It's typically a very hard wax. You could almost run your thumb inside the can or the tin and it'd pile up on your finger almost as a crumbly type product. Mm-hmm. And the one I use is a product called Glip Tone. And I got away from it a long time ago because I didn't think I could get it. I still have a can of it from the 1980s and it still works. Mm-hmm. And I found a source for it. They still make it, the same people. It's called Glip Tone, GLIPTONE. I ordered it online, but it's also available locally. Again, all the things we talk about here you can get locally. Mm-hmm. And again, Meguiar's makes one, which I still may even have a partial can of it. Let's see here. It's a Meguiar's Gold Class Carnauba Plus Premium Paste Wax. And I use a foam applicator. Mm-hmm. And some people put it on, they let it dry. I used to do that. That's too much work. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Glip Tone folks, they don't do that. You do a panel at a time, put it on, and then before it dries, you start going across it softly with your removal cloth until it finally all disappears. It gives you a very uniform application without all the work.
Wow. Well, I know whatever you do works well because I've seen it work. I've seen it happen. Ready to go to the calls?
Let's do one.
Okay, here we go. Let's go over to John. John, welcome to the CNC Auto Show. And what can we help you with?
Well, thank you for taking my call. We have a 99 Suburban Mm-hmm. It's got just over 500,000 miles on it. And about 80,000 miles back, it started doing something really unusual with the transmission. When we first crank the car, it will shift normally up to third gear, but then it doesn't go into overdrive. And if we stop at a stop sign or red light, it doesn't downshift. It just stays in third, which is kind of hard on that old engine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a lot of compression. So if we've driven about 5 miles or so and the engine has warmed up, we can pull over, shut it off for about 30 seconds, and then it will operate normally until it goes through a complete cool down at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my wife's in Florida right now. And she's driven the car down there, and that's just the process we go through because it works for us. But I was just wondering what might be causing.
All right.
If you had any idea what might.
And John, I will ask one time again. You mentioned you had 500K on the vehicle then, right?
Yep, 507 right now.
Man, congratulations. I love seeing that. That's a beautiful sight when you see a person. And I can tell you now that you have to be doing a lot of things right, because I see so many times. I was talking to Jim a little earlier. I see so many times that a vehicle will come in to put air in the tires, and we check it. There's no oil in the car, and these cars that could last many, many, many years don't last near that long because they're not cared for. But you can tell if you get 500K, you're caring for that vehicle and still going. So I want to say congratulations on that to start with. Beautiful job. Second thing.
We love it.
On the transmission, it actually sounds like you have a electronic type or a computer-controlled item that is causing the transmission not to shift. Now, I don't want to build up too much hope because there are some of those electronic items are located inside the transmission, deep within the transmission. And if it turns out to be anything like that, I would probably just be recommending a remanufactured transmission to go back in. But the next step is going to be to check for trouble codes inside that transmission. Does the check engine light come on the vehicle?
I don't think it's currently on, but I don't remember. That's an easy one to ignore.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And that does that. But there's a – hey – John, I'm going to put you on hold because there's a lot of things on here that there's some items that I want to mention, and I'm going to put you on hold through this part, and we'll come back to you very shortly. Be right back. Okay, the time clock is on E. We'll need to pull off the road for just a little bit, and I'm your host, Aaron Clements, here to answer your automotive questions, and Jim Pate is here to answer your DIY car detail questions. We'll be right back after this.
As we navigate the COVID-19 crisis, O'Reilly Auto Parts is dedicated to serving you. We've been deemed an essential business, so our doors will stay open. We encourage you to buy online, then pick up curbside. Together, we're committed to getting through this.